Welcome, one and all, to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. This is your weekly GA Roundup. We've got a packed show in store as ever. I want to thank first Evan Borland for the Power Hour Plus. Of course, Donna Marie for the news. I hope you're all well. I have two lads in the studio with me here, Parik Hoffrey, Oisin Kelly, the hardest working man.
He's put in some hours this week, isn't he?
I was just like, last week, right, he brought us action from Cork. Then he went to Croke Park for the hurling final. Election this weekend, Castlebar, he's a rally coming up.
He's just a master of everything, isn't he?
I'll tell you what, he's doing some service here. We'll have to pull Fantastic. Up the socks a bit, Parik, I think. Yeah. We are going to talk later in the show, we're going to talk ladies football. A brilliant result for the Donegal ladies, a draw against Kerry at home. Donegal went under as huge underdogs.
Big result.
Big result, yeah, Parik. We're going to hear a few words from the manager, John McNulty. We're also going to talk then to hurling boss Mickey McCann, because we missed him after the bank holiday, in terms of the brilliant Nicky record won and looking forward to 2025. But as I say, first of all, we're going to talk Derry, Donegal and Tyrone, with two men that know a bit about it, Peter Canavan and Michael McMullen. Lads, you're welcome to the show.
Cheers, Brian.
Thanks, Brenton.
Great to have you on, lads.
I think Oisin needs a helicopter.
Yeah, he definitely needs something, eh?
I'll tell you, lads. You know what? I was thinking, Mal, you read a book, Game of My Life. You could write another book about this Derry saga in 2024. There's not much going on now. Myself, yourself, and Peter were at Celtic Park the last day, but just from the inside the county perspective, the drama is never ending, and the rumour mill is full throttle there at the minute.
Yeah, if you believed all the rumours, you'd bring your boots to every game, because there's that many injuries and guys leaving the panel and just bad feeling. So things are very difficult in Derry at the moment. And I think the main way of looking at it at the moment is you cannot look past Westmeath, because I don't think Derry come into the debate anywhere at the moment apart from needing to win a championship game. I think it's as simple as that. The league was great and winning it was brilliant, and retaining the status has been excellent, but three defeats in a row in the championship is grim reading. So it's just Operation Westmeath at the moment and trying to win. Simple as that.
Yeah, Operation Westmeath. Peter, what do you think of this? You know, the whole season. Obviously, no one knows Mickey Hart better than you. Are you surprised? Like, what was Mickey in your time there? Was there a big? We obviously know all about Mickey and McKenna Cup and the brilliant record and the way he wants to win every game. But do you think, Peter, it's ever sustainable to come at it that hard and still be effective in the championship?
Didn't I tell you way back when Mickey was appointed, Brian, that he was being sent there to take Derry down?
So, he's doing a good job.
He's doing a decent job. But look, yeah, I don't have to tell you, you know yourself, that every single game, it could be a it could be a tournament game. Never mind the McKenna Cup. Yes, he wants to win everything. And on reflection now, if he had to do it again, would he be taking the playing players away from their All-Ireland winning celebrations to play in a league game? Probably not. And to keep them fresh and to keep them, to give them a bit of a break. Most people would have felt they deserved it, but that's not in Mickey's nature. He probably felt that, you know, it was a big call in the first place going to Derry, and he wanted to get everybody, fans and everybody else, on board from early days, you know, as he's done in so many other places. So he managed to do that at the start. They won the league, and everyone was appeared to be going very well in the Derry camp. But the manner of, you know, I thought the Donegal game, for long periods of that game, Derry outplayed Donegal. It was the breakaway goals that caught them. I think, I can't recall what the scoreline was, but I think Derry maybe scored more than Donegal, as in scores, that day. They had far more shots on target than Donegal. Against Galway, you could argue that, you know, for long periods of that game, Derry were the dominant team, created a lot of chances, didn't take them all. And the sending off was obviously the key moment in that game. But the Armagh game, it's fair to say at no stage did they look like winning it? And of the three defeats, by far the most embarrassing, and the body language of so many of the Derry players was unbelievable, because I hadn't seen that from them in a long, long time. And I'd say that's given him the greatest cause of concern now coming into the Westmeath game.
Yeah, listen, Peter's just changed my mind about the net as he's summing it up. Mel, have we been too sore on Derry, and a lot of this is coming back to heart? You know, just thinking it's a lot of pressure for him. You know, he's only human. And as Peter was saying, he wants to come in there and do well and hit the ground running. You know, did he get caught up in that a wee bit too much, do you think, Mel? And, you know, if you look at, as Peter was saying there, the last day, Derry's half-back line would have been the driving force behind the team a lot, you know, and we were McGrugan out, McKinless suspended, and McAvoy didn't make it. And I don't even know energy-wise if that would have made much of a difference from what I've seen. But do you think now that, in terms of where Derry is at, that there can kick back from, as Peter said, that what was a very embarrassing defeat in terms of like energy, body language? Is it possible to rescue that at this point?
I think it's very difficult at this point, you know, because I say it is all about Westmeath. I think in the big picture, I think it's difficult to see them really doing anything in the All-Ireland series. I hope I'm wrong, but I just find it difficult. Like, and I think it was also very difficult coming in after Rory Gallagher. Like, he had made an unbelievable job with Derry and kept injury-free. I think another big loss hasn't been spoken about enough is the loss of Peter Hughes as the S&C man behind it all. So there doesn't seem to be... There was no injuries under his tenure. And as Peter said, going to Tralee with everybody, I still think that the first three or four league games are very important for Derry to stay up. The Kenna Cup, you know, obviously wasn't, but it's very difficult. And you mentioned the players, Brenton, that are gone. It's those players that are punching holes in teams for this past couple of years. And as I've said a few times, I think the kick-out thing can be tweaked that wee bit, but my concern at the moment is literally goal chances. Because it was the Conor McCluskeys and the Paddy McGrogans and Gareth McInnes and guys that got coming in the overlap that teams couldn't cope with. Now you're probably down to Ethan Doherty. He's their main assist man. You know, and even like in the first half against Donegal, he had 3 points on the board before Kieran Moore moved on to him. And that's the danger for me, where Derry's attack appeared to be that it was all about width. It was all about creating channels and going inside those channels. Now teams are closing those channels and the players aren't there to run into them. Like Armagh are excellent. Their major teams are exactly the same. They just defend narrow and it's just shuffle left, shuffle right, and there's nowhere to go. And then on top of the personnel, I think this is probably the most worrying thing for me from the Armagh game. I agree with Peter. Like, the Donegal game is a sort of a potential wake-up call. You know, we've all saw them where a team has just been hit on a day. And there's always another chance. Like, it happened to Tyrone teams under Mickey, where they've had to regroup and did that very well. But my worry about the Armagh game was that when Conor McCluskey got bottled up, there was nobody coming running off the shoulder. When Donica Gilmore got sort of boxed up on a kick out, he got blown for too long. There was no support runner. And, you know, even when Brenton Rodgers, like, he hand passed the ball laterally across midfield. You know, and he's super reliable. Like, he's one of Derry's best players over the past decade, but there was nobody coming for that run. And it was nearly as if Armagh sensed that. And that would be the real, real worry at this stage, is, you know, that half-back axis that has been really hurting teams. Because whenever Derry were cruising through the league, albeit it has to be said, they were playing against teams that weren't out at full strength. You know, the three games Derry have lost, they've been playing against teams in the championship phase with virtually everybody out. So that's the worry for me this week. And then the other thing, that to answer your question, you know, are the contenders. I find it difficult for a team to be contenders, you know, if their panel's threadbare. Like, Derry have been found out now that at the start of the year, when Cormac Murphy went through to win that free that Shane put over to win the game in Kerry, I remember thinking, we've actually got something different to add to Derry's attack now.
Yeah.
But now, when you take out all those players, like against Galway, Derry could only field 9 subs. Against Armagh, they could only field 10. And like, Mickey doesn't really do challenge matches, and there's no real time for challenge games as well, Brenton. So if you're footing about with 24, 25 players, what sort of training environment can you create at the moment? Whereas Dublin are the benchmark. they're probably operating with 15v15 every night. And I think that's hard to replicate that. And Peter will probably, obviously the team he played on with Tyrone when Mickey didn't do challenge games, you know, use probably the full 15 every night. So there's that bit of more depth to shape things. That's my concern.
Yeah. Peter, just on Mickey, you know, is it a bit almost like mission impossible it was for him taking this job? You know, back-to-back Ulsters, listen, semi-final, people were like, to take Derry to the next stage. You know, there was only one thing everybody wanted, that was at least to make a final. Was it a very difficult job for him to take with all the stuff in the background, Peter? And has football turned a lot? I mean, you think back to 2008, the last All-Ireland, and only made the final in 2018 and that. And is it difficult to change through all that style of football, Peter, and to keep up to date with everything in terms of, like, Mal just mentioned there Rory Gallagher and how maybe deep that the coaching and the training's got. Do you think that's anything in this, or is it just that they expend too much energy in the league?
Yeah, I suppose there's a few questions thrown in there, Brian, but the first one about him coming in, you used the term mission impossible. I would say when you look at the players that he had at his disposal, you wouldn't say it was mission impossible. You would say what a group of players to be coming in, to be taking over. And the one thing that I would say at the start of the year, just looking at Derry from a purely footballing point of view, forgetting about managers and all the rest, the one aspect of their team that needed to improve was strength and depth. That it was felt that they had 14 or 15 brilliant players, but when it came to the bench this past couple of years, they've been a bit weak. So in the early stages of the league, that everybody, you know, were in agreement by and large that these players have been found. Declan Chastey was prominent, Cormac Murphy, Dermot Baker has come in and played really well at cornerback. Lachlan Murray has come in and performed, and he's brought Emmett Bradley back, who, you know, to further strengthen the panel. So the panel of players in Derry are definitely there, and they're good enough to be competing, good enough to be winning an All-Ireland title. But the big thing was, this is a throne man, a figurehead in throne football, coming in to take over a Derry team. Unheard of before, not too many seen it coming. And if it didn't go down well in Throne, in quarters, some quarters in Derry, it definitely didn't go down well either. And maybe there wasn't that much noise made about it. There was a few in public were willing to say, no, this is not on. But once things started to go unravel, there appeared to be more dissenting voices. And the other man that you didn't mention, the previous manager, it wasn't any manager. He's a manager with a fierce presence, a manager that took this group of players from position nowhere to All-Ireland contenders, forceful on and off the line. It was obvious that the players looked up to him, believed in him. So the fact that he wasn't there, and some of them maybe believing that he was coming back, it just left them in a very strange position, and maybe some of them haven't been able to cope with that. And when they needed to dig deep, and when they needed to show real persistence and courage in their manager, maybe that wasn't there. So Derry now find themselves in the position they're in. Can they retrieve it? Yes, they can beat Westmeath. They could get a good draw. If Derry beat Westmeath, they'll come third in the group. So their options in the preliminary quarterfinal is going to be either Donegal or Throne. Wouldn't that be a good one to kickstart their season? Away to Louth, possibly, or away to Mayo or Dublin.
Yeah.
So again, if you're looking for something to get them going again, that will be there in a couple of weeks.
But haven't seen teams like that, Peter. Do you think, from what we've seen that day in Celtic Park, because I've been in that position before, where we won the league and we bombed out. I remember we beat actually our man in the championship, but the energy was gone. The Tyrone hammered us in the semi final, and I just remember thinking, it looks nearly like it's going to be very, very hard to get back to that kind of that aggressive energy.
I agree with you, Brian. I agree with you, because I think there's too much going on now behind the scenes. And there's a lot of talk that Derry are moving towards next year and planning for next year without Mickey, without Gavin Devlin. And so, look, if all that's going on in the background, that's not good for the current panel of players and for the current setup. So,
I guess, Peter, you're right about the squad, of course. I didn't mean it so much that it was I meant for him, if something goes wrong, there's going to be so much that comes out then because of the undercurrents that was behind it. So as long as everything was going well, that was okay. Just, but as soon as things started to go bad, all this, I mean, it, as you said, it was unheard of. I mean, can you see yourself managing Derry at some stage?
is it April Fool's Day, Brendan?
Well, like, if somebody had
Brendan, one of the most direct questions that I've heard you ask.
Peter's categorically on the DL debate. He's come out. No, but do you know what? But,
I mean, trying to break stories here, yeah.
But he's saying that. But like last year, if you'd have said to me, Mickey Hart's going to take, I'd like, away. He is Mr. Drone. So listen, I'm not saying obviously, Peter, but stranger things have happened.
No, but the only thing about it is just asking you guys' professional point of view, you know. For Donegal to do what they did, that's once. Then second out against Galway, look, Galway beat them, better team. But then against Armagh, for me, not to change the system or not, you know, from a supporter's point of view, you know, you're going, what's going on here? You know, it's, and can you blame players or can you blame managers? Like, you know, Conor Glass went down to Kerry. He went down to Kerry that time. So I think that's a cop out, to be honest, you know. Like, if you want to win an All Ireland, you'll do what you have to. They came out and said about they wanted to raise their eyebrows at a manager who's going to come in and, you know, bring them up another level. The talk about Mickey Hart coming in was he was going to do that, you know, and that's.
It hasn't worked out, obviously. Mel, last question to you just on the Derry lads. Well, what are you thinking then? I know we heard the rumours there was county board meetings and there was player meetings, and then I was on Derry the last day chatting to a couple of lads from Ballandair Club, and they said, listen, there was no meeting, and a couple of boys might have met at Glass's place for a coffee. And so, you know, are you agreeing with Peter there around, is this just a one-year system and Derry are going to be on the lookout for a new manager?
Yeah, well, it's sort of whenever Mickey came in, like obviously Derry were an All-Ireland semi-final and in a really good place. And probably even Mickey aside, getting to an All-Ireland final or winning an All-Ireland was everything that Derry were looking for. So I think anything less is going to be certainly nearly not accepted, no matter who's in charge. But I think it's just maybe the manner of three championship defeats in a row. And, you know, there was a few positives in Galway. I actually thought Derry played quite well in Galway. And Peter's right, the sending off had a huge influence on it. And Derry got back into it until the second goal and all those things. There's plenty to take out of it, you know. But, you know, to be hammered twice in your own backyard, Stephanie, is very disappointing. And probably whoever gets on the bus to go to the Westmeath game and when they get into the dressing rooms, they're just going to have to unite and get a result. But the big picture, I honestly don't know. I've heard so many rumours about what happened here, there and everywhere, and chat about Portugal this and Portugal that, but yeah. Even one of the rumours I heard, I know it's completely incorrect. So you don't know what to believe, but it's a very, very difficult situation. And I think the most disappointing thing from a Derry point of view, you know, parking my journo's hat on, the most disappointing thing is that, you know, we built ourselves up so well as a county, that now three defeats in a row is very difficult to come back from, because for a long, long time, we couldn't win championship matches. And then it got to the stage where sometimes we maybe fell over the line in games because we had found a way of winning. And it's difficult to get that back. But I'll go back to my same point. The panel, you know, losing that depth from your panel is difficult. Like if you picked five or six lads out of Jim's plan to go to Cork, you struggle. If Jim Gavin or Desi Farrell, whoever was the top in charge of Dublin at that stage, if they lose five or six players, they're probably the only county in Ireland that can absorb it. Yeah. Anybody else, you're going to struggle. So I don't know. I probably didn't have an answer to your question properly there. I don't know. It's difficult to see anything happening next year because of the way things have happened. But that's for people outside of the chat to talk about.
That's it. But there's not that many high-level people around the country when you look at some of the kind of elite managers that seem to be able to change teams. I know Donegal's lucky to get Jim in there. What about your own men in Tyrone? Peter, you know, a lot of talk about there's obviously the under-20s and talent coming through in that. Obviously, they were in charge of that game against Donegal in Celtic Park back in the semi-final. And then it was that second-half collapse. You know, we played fairly well in the first half. I thought a lot of did seven wides, didn't they? And so, you know, that second-half collapse, probably a bit of a worry, Peter. But where do you see Tyrone now going into this final game with Cork?
Still scratching our head regarding Tyrone's performances, Brian, because they've been so inconsistent from game to game, and even, as you say, you know, within games. So the first half against Donegal, probably they're really steady. Their best 35 minutes of football that they've played in quite a while, and the next 35, you know, maybe the worst 35 minutes of football to play this year. So look, a bench not been used, a lot of men tiring on the pitch, and then when we played Donegal and up in Balbuffet, the bench been used very quick to take men off, and up front we've been struggling. Scores have been hard to come by, in that, you know, both Dara and Darren McCurry haven't been getting on the ball that they would want to be getting on. And Darren McCurry was replaced last day out against Clare. So if Tyrone were to go out and play, I only seen the first half of the Clare game. If they were to go out and play in the same manner against Cork, the game would probably be over at half time. Clare were very wasteful and thrown so passive moving forward with the ball. Very easy for teams to set up and defend against them. The way Donegal were able to do it. So they're going to have to find something that we haven't seen this year, to be honest. If they're going to get over Cork, who are physical and who we've seen against Donegal, can move the ball at serious pace on the counter-attack. So, to answer your question, what about Tyrone? They could be brilliant, Brian, or yes, they could be terrible.
Yeah. What do you think of that? Well, you know, around the likes of Tyrone having a say in this championship. I mean, somebody gave me a stat there recently. In the last 3 years, we've playing Kerry, Dublin, Galway and Mayo. There's 11 matches. The Ulster teams have won one against those four sides, those four top teams. Is it a bit of a damning stat that there was a man from outside the province threw that one at me? But, you know, is there anything in there, Mal? We were thinking maybe Derry was going to be maybe the one to be a contender. Can you see anything from the next crew, you know, Tyrone, Armagh, Donegal, that thinks, you know, can they go all the way? Or is a semi-final kind of the most we would expect?
That's a really concerning stat, Brenton. And is that a stat that that cast the death knell over the Ulster Championship going forward? But that's another debate. But at the start of the year, we talked about Derry. We thought things were moving. Obviously, Donegal were really, really consistent, and then they went to Cork. But I think from the outside, it looks as if it was a blip of sorts. I don't see that repeating. They seem to be fairly consistent. Be with Peter, like Tyrone have never been able to back up a victory even. And that Cork team, they lost their first three league games, and then they were away on their holiday, came back, and have been really consistent since. And that's a really tough game for Tyrone. I think Tyrone, in the big picture, the three under 20 titles in, say, 10 years, I think is a great statement of sort of progress for Tyrone. I think it'll not be that long to their back. And as we talk right now, they're in a better position than Derry, believe it or not, because at least, you know, we know a wee bit more about what way things are going. But I still think the big picture in terms of Sam, you're still coming back to the two amigos at the pop. You're coming back to Dublin and you're coming back to Kerry, with Dublin still the favourites. But that would be a worrying statistic, that, you know, that Ulster teams, as much as we're really proud of what we do up here, that's a concern. Like, I know even from a Derry point of view, obviously being a Derry man, like, we have we've played 19 championship matches in Croke Park in the history of the GAA, and we've only won six. You know, and for us to try and win on All Ireland, you have to win three in the same year. And then you're telling me that stat, we're one Ulster team over, you know, have come up against top teams and there's only been one victory, that would be definitely a concern. But I can't see anybody but Dublin winning, Sam, this year. That's just for me. I would like to think an Ulster team would, but I still think it's Dublin.
Yeah.
But we haven't had a knockout game yet, so much can change.
That's it. What do you think of that, Peter? You know, you've seen Donegal, obviously, in Armagh recently. Listen, trying to gauge them against Derry maybe is difficult because they look like they could destroy anybody playing that way, but Derry literally had no defence half the time. They were breaking into space. And Donegal as well, would you say, Peter, that it's well, Armagh obviously have been steadily building, Jim's first year.
Yeah.
And can you see them being able to mix it with the likes of Dublin and Kerry when we get to the bigger stages, if they get there?
I think Donegal absolutely will next year. But not this year. I think Jim is obviously building a team there and they're heading the right way, but I think it's come too early for them this time round. At the start of the year, I would have said, without a doubt, Derry are the team most capable of taking out a Kerry or taking out a Dublin. As it stands at the minute, if there was one team capable of doing that, it's probably Armagh. I think both of us were in Celtic Park, and to witness their physicality around the park, their fitness levels, the men coming off the bench looked really impressive and hungry. And when they move the ball the way they can, they have got inside men there that can cause a bit of damage. So they're probably the one team that if Armagh were to take on a Donegal, or sorry, a Dublin or a Kerry, I think they could cause them serious problems.
Yeah. This could be the Armagh season yet. It could all turn around. The sadness and McGeaney. And
I know, get his arm out of the sling, you know, and all that.
Right.
But
fighting the training and all that.
What is it, washbuckle? Is that the famous term that comes with Armagh? Washbuckling style.
They've had a tough time. Like Peter and Mal, I almost feel sorry for them at this.
You can hear it in Peter's voice whenever he's chatting about Armagh, you know.
A wee bit depressed. Lads, listen, hey, Peter.
The only thing I'd say about Armagh, Brenton, would be that a lot has been sort of pushed towards Kieran McGeaney's door that they haven't won silverware, but he's kept everybody with him. I've said that quite often over the past two or three weeks.
Yeah.
Everybody has stayed on board. Every single player has stayed there. And I know it's a debate for another day, but he's letting lads go to play club football. And so is Jim with Jack McKelvey and boys like that. So maybe that's a recipe to keep people with you, allow county players to dip into the club scene. But
yeah.
That's another debate.
Yeah, we'll see. That's another debate is right. But for this one, Peter Canavan and Michael McMahon, thanks so much for joining us this evening, lads. And I will catch up with you as the championship unfolds.
Thanks, lads.
Thanks, Brenton.
Appreciate it, man.
Cheers, lads.
Yes, folks, welcome back to the show. Myself and Parkner are going to look at the Donegal ladies' performance from the weekend up against the top Kerry team, you know. We're coming to town and
a team
expected to win. We're a big underdog. So John McNulty in this side, he's very quickly created a force, you know.
He has, without doubt. Like Kerry coming to town, Kerry are top for the All-Ireland, like, you know, and again, that's two Division 1 teams really that he's put on a serious performance against both of them, you know. And again, it comes back to confidence and bringing back a system, the play that these girls are buying into. And obviously, as well, Brendan, something that I was, you know, very impressed with this young side was the fitness level of them was phenomenal. But again, going against Kerry Donegal, you're looking at it and you're going, Kerry will come out of this one. Now, it was a bad day in McCool Park, but again, a home game for the girls, and they went at it straight away from the off, showed them very little respect, which is something, you know, like for young players, it just comes, you know, comes naturally a wee bit. But you look at the start they got straight away. They got a goal. It was Kevin Keown from Ballyshannon got that goal, or Aru.
He was player of the match,
and then kicked on from that. And suppose they continued to create opportunities as well. You know, okay, in the second half, I think the rain, you know, played a little bit of havoc with the actual game. But you know, Coming out of that with a point, you know, a point apiece, you know, it's a great result.
Just this season, Mark, there wasn't a lot maybe expected off Donegal, because we keep talking about the turnover of players and there was a new wave coming through. But it would take a good bit of time to be a demand, but as if John and his backroom teams have been able to like speed that up and get a team that, you know, they're playing one of the top teams in Ireland and they're there competing, getting a share of the spoils.
Well, Armagh won the league, you know, and against Armagh, they were you know, they were, you could put your hand up and say they were the better team at stages, you know, and look, Armagh maybe got a couple of points, you know, ahead of them going down the stretch, but they never lay down, they came back, and that's a great sign within a team, and they got the goal late that afternoon as well. But again, they came out, they took that form straight into that game, and you know, I think John has indicated maybe a couple of weeks. I know we were giving out about the 6 week layoff, you know, but to get tactics right, Brian, you know better than anybody else, like from coaching, like to get a tactical set of play. And suppose with John coming in with fresh eyes and maybe some of the girls from last year, you're just looking at Katie Hearn being there from last year, you know, there is a few, but trying to get a new system of play in place that they'll buy into first of all as well. But not only buy into, Brendan, you know, like really pushing teams. That they're in Division 2 currently, you know, but in Championship football, over 60 minutes they haven't been beaten like this Division 2 side hasn't been beaten by the Division 1 team. Yeah.
Like you wouldn't, you know, that is some achievement in itself to have brought these girls to that level now already. I mean, fair play to them, because as we were saying before, Bert, the underage hasn't been strong coming through in that, so we were dependent on the same crop of players for so long, so we've needed the change, and that change has been coming great. And Dara Boner was at the game for us, and he caught up with John McNulty after the match.
Here with John McNulty after the ladies' game here, Donegal 1-6 to 9 points for Kerry. John, can you sum us that one up for us there?
First of all, probably say the conditions were absolutely horrendous out there. You know, the ball was wet, very slippy conditions underfoot. But I thought it was a good performance from ourselves, albeit that we probably had to come back and get that late draw. But I thought we played well overall in the game.
Yeah, I suppose to come back was brilliant. Probably could have won it at the same time too. Or are you happy enough with how it went?
I think you have a mixture of two things there. We definitely had a few chances up there when we should have been taking them, and we missed those ones. Probably easy enough chances, but at the same time, when we did push up on them, and we got a few scores on them, and you know, we had that last chance that we were in possession, and probably with the conditions, the ball just fell away from Katie, and it just, we'd go back down. But to be credit to the girls was that after that they had possession, and they probably had maybe a minute and a half or so left, and they didn't get a shot away, so we would have to be happy with the draw overall.
Yeah, just in the last two games now, the Division 1 winners and Division 1 finalists, both games end in draw after 60 minutes. It's a real testament to how far this team has come since you came in.
I think it's credit to the girls there. They're working very hard. They're training every night, and probably the 5-6 week break that we had, that maybe, you know, we were able to get a lot of things done, and we really fine tuned things. And yeah, you can see the work in the girls is incredible, and they ask it every night. They just give whatever they can to it, and I think that's a lot of it. So we'd have to be happy enough with you know, those two results and fairness from where we've been in Division 2 this year and trying to rebuild.
Have you noticed that even without the competitive games, that big break in between, have you noticed a big jump in the standard, or has it just been building?
I think it's been building, and I think we probably could have done with maybe another competitive game, maybe in Ulster leading into that Ulster final. I felt that would probably have helped a lot, but we didn't get that, so we had to do it ourselves with a few challenge games, and we worked on that. We're working on different things, and probably a few challenge games we were able to work on them, and there was no pressure on being able to do it, and I think that has helped.
Yeah, I suppose now whenever you're looking at Waterford, you won't really know exactly until maybe Waterford and Kerry play next week, but going down there, you probably still need a result anyway, is the main thing.
Yeah, you're going to need a result of some kind, you know, but I guess that the other side of that, we'll just have to wait and see what Kerry and Waterford produce next weekend, and as you say, we'll just have to take it from there.
Yeah, just there on Blanna McLaughlin, I think that was her first game of the year, was it? She's just back?
Yeah, just back. Great to have her back. She's been training all year with us, but slowly but surely building it back, and there the last 3-4 weeks she's really got herself back into top shape, so we were delighted to be able to get her on the field today and get some minutes into her legs there, and she done quite well when she on, so it's great to have her back.
Yeah, and finally the subs did make a difference there as well. Jodie McFadden came on, won the ball for Katie Dowd's point. It was, but like the depth there is really good too, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean their girls are working hard at training and looking to get that place on the team, so credit to Jodie. I thought Jodie done very well, and she brings that energy and she has that aggression with her as a forward, and she brings on, and she's always looking to get on the ball, and she's always looking probably to get that score, so you know, great credit goes to her for the, you know, coming on those last 5 or 6, 7 minutes maybe and putting in that performance.
Yeah, well done, John McNulty. Magic stuff. Another man that's doing well and has done well and took home the title this season is Mickey McCann. Mickey, how are you, sir?
Good, Brendan, yourself?
Has the champagne cork stopped a popping, or?
Aye, the celebrations have stopped now, Brendan.
The Birdmen don't drink champagne. You're too tough for that, carry on.
Ah, well, them boys wouldn't touch that stuff, Brendan. No. It'll be tighter stuff than
Ben
that.
Man.
Yeah, listen to me. Mickey, do you know what? We had a bank holiday last week, and it was hearing the coverage and that, we all seen it, and I was in it. In at the Armagh Derry game, but I was like, wow, like an amazing game, like down and out, but probably 6-8 at one stage. You're probably thinking, there's going to have to be some fight back, a couple of great goals, Rory Campbell and McGee Connolly, and another title. Mickey, where does this one rank?
It's right up there, Brendan, because there's a bit of pressure on this time to get over the line, because we've lost two semi-finals and then a final last year, and You just want to get them to that next level and the mindset right. They won games like that, because if you keep losing finals, it's going down out of rot, you know, or semi-finals, but one-off games. So it's like 1-1, Brendan, in terms of the young boys you've brought through in the last 3 or 4 years, you know, and a lot of these boys is all homegrown through the clubs, which is nice. You know, we always had a few boys and from outside the last few years, and they strengthened us up big time, you know, but this team is really... No, more or less all Donegal men and boys that we've brought in over the last 3 or 4 years, and they've been seasoned players now very quick. So, it's right up there. It's a sweet one to get.
Mm. Mickey, just on the game, the lead up to it, obviously we beat Mayo by 8 points in the league at home. Was that a bit of a worry for you going into the game that you know, we had some brilliant performances in the league and that was one of them? Did that think maybe in some people's mind, you know, we haven't done as favourites, but you were always saying this, and this is a 50-50, and the two best teams were in the final?
Yeah, look, it definitely was a 50-50 game, Brendan. If you look at Mayo, they were in the Christy Ring final 2 seasons ago, so we got a lot of things right and Letterkenny that day, and everything worked out first in the second half. But look, after 45 minutes in Letterkenny, it was level probably, you know, and we pushed on 6 points in a row then. So I was looking at it a different way completely, you know, and I knew there was another level at my old team. But I suppose on the day, Brendan, we were very poor in the first half with 23 shots and 8 points, where maybe they had 14 shots and 12 points. So it was hard to build momentum, kept hitting wide, you know, and it was giving them a wee rise up, and you know, it was taken away from us. And it was hard to get a foothold in the game, you know, so felt we needed fresh legs in there and stuff, you know, they change it up front and, you know, take Rory Campbell out of it. He's probably only starting forward. It really showed up first in the first half, you know. Probably one of our worst performances in the first half of all year, Brendan, but probably down to nerves and whatever you say, still a young team. But, look, eventually come good. We didn't panic. And, as you said, you know, we've been the receiving end last year. We're 6 points up and lost the game. And it's just the other way about this year. We knew at half-time that 4 or 5 points is nothing really, and you know, after 55 minutes we were 5 down, but we ended up winning the game before. So finished the game strong, Brendan. Another great performance, but very pleasing one that the boys kept the mindset right and dug deep for us to get the result, you know.
Yeah, and Mickey, just the whole thing of like Crow Park and the buzz that brings, as you said there, the two semis and the final, like from your own perspective, that sense of kind of almost relief then. Is it hard, Mickey, when you're watching Andy, kind of have enjoyment in that match? It's so, there's so much tension with every ball that you're playing, you know, until you get to that almost final whistle. Is there any enjoyment at all, or is it just kind of, it's almost kind of stressful in terms of just the whole game and everything that's happening?
Absolutely no enjoyment at all, Brendan. Maybe the 71 minutes gone, I think we were 4 up and it was only 2 added on, which I was glad to see. But no, look, it was actually a frustrating game. I knew there was another level in us and we were poor on the day, you know. A couple of subs come in there, actually 5 subs come in and done a very good job for us. Big Josh had 2 goals, Oisin Grantman threw him out in the work for us, you know. Peter Kelly's first touch with a point, Rowan McDermott in there and Chucky. So we needed everything, Brendan, and we needed a big finish. But it wasn't quite an enjoyable game. I felt, you know, we played better all year, and I felt we played within ourselves, you know, and even for short puckouts and stuff, we didn't take control as much as we normally do. But a really, really satisfying final whistle, one of the best ones I've ever been involved in, you know, because you thought the game was away from you, but They turned it around and won it. You know, it was exciting at the end.
Yeah, brilliant, Mickey. And what happens after, Mickey? Where does the team go when they come down the road and that? What happens then?
I suppose the county board had a homecoming in the Cannery for us. You know, Cannery put up some food and with a wee geller in there, you know, and all the supporters are back in there. So we sat there for a while, Brendan, that done me, you know, but the rest of them had the town in Letterkenny then, and just say the WhatsApp group was brave and buzzy for a couple of days.
You know, screenshots.
So, screenshots, you know, when the slagging starts. So, but I was sitting at home watching it, you know, while
would you have been wrecked that night, Mickey, in terms of, or were you on a high from the game? Were you just kind of like blowing the cheeks out and say, thank God that's done, and you can maybe take a wee bit of enjoyment of it kind of after it, but that night, were you wrecked, or were you still on a high from it, or how were you?
I suppose the crack on the bus was good on the way down, Brendan, and then going into the Clannery for a while, but no, come 1 o'clock, I was brave and tired. It was a long weekend, and you're waiting on a 4:15 throwing. You know, you're up in Dublin on a Saturday night, so look, it's been tiring. But a lot of relief, Brendan, to get us over the line. You say we've been pushing hard. They won that again for the last 4 years. You know, the last time there was no promotion. So, no, I was tired. Look, I was brave and tired on the Monday, to be fair, but these boys are the second one on them where I hadn't, you know.
Yeah. And just looking into next year, Mickey, you know, obviously in the league there, Tyrone, Derry, London sides again, we've mixed it in terms of, you know, Christy Ring and that as well. What's your thoughts? I know we were up there once before. It didn't go that well for us. What do you think about this campaign, Mickey? It's going to take it all. As you said, that next level is going to have to be got in every game.
Yeah, and look, probably the league brand is going to be probably even tougher than the Christy Ring. The Christy Ring's a lot of teams that we played in the league this year, and you know, Derry, to Kildare out of it, we've played all the rest of the teams, you know, and got results. You took Kildare probably a level above everybody. I did think they'd won the Christy Ring, but you're under the Kerrys and the Kildares and the Meath and Down in the league, which is, look, it's a place we've never been. We've never played the likes of Kerry and a hurling game. So it's definitely going to be a massive step up, Bren. You're probably trying to get a result or two there to try to keep you there and find your feet. And yeah, sort of like we did when we went to 2B, you know. So the league's going to be a massive step up. I think if you get steadied in that a bit and a good competitive league over you, get into a Christy Ring where anything could happen. You know, you have, as I say, Mayo in that final 2 years ago, and you have Derry there who we can put up there on our day, you know, and Meath coming down, which you know, we were in a league final against them last year. So I do think the Christy Ring, anything could happen. The league's going to be really a learning curve. You know, there's going to be a couple of tough games there that no result probably won't go your way, but if we can get the learnings out of it, would be the most important thing, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen, Mickey, there's been some learning and there's been some improvement and there's been a lot of good times in there, Mickey. The team has been developed, honestly, going up the grades, and it's going to be a big season next season, Mickey, but fair play to you and the lads there after another brilliant campaign this year. A lot of work, Mickey, I know, behind it. And the work's gone up every year between the training, the S&Z and the lifestyle. You know, it's massive commitment from you and the lads. So on behalf of all us Donegal crew and supporters here, well done.
Thanks, Brent. Thanks.
Top man, Mickey McCann there. Mickey Rackard, winning manager. Fair play to him. Porrick, what about the small ball? Do you ever try it?
No, just it was awkward enough with the big ball. Never mind the wee ball.
You were handy enough there.
But like, you know, there was a time a few of them came about, like, you know. But phenomenal actually. I was working that Sunday, and Oisin was doing the commentary, and you were sitting and you were listening, and you thought it was gone.
Right.
But somewhere they just ground. They got the goals at the right, you know, at the right time.
The
suppose.
So
yeah.
Quick. You see, if a football team, if you're behind, if you're nearly not, our lads even come back against Cork from 5-2, which is surprising.
Yeah.
But normally it takes goals to do that, you know. Mm-hmm. When you look into that Cork performance, Park, now you looking ahead to Clare, you know, there's so much to be done to do right, but yet conceded 3 goals and we still nearly going to draw.
I thought it was a bit of a, I don't know now, I thought it was a wee bit of a strange one. Like, conceding goals, you know, is not something that Donegal, you know, cop up too often, you know. I think this weekend will be a wee bit different. It's going to be It's going to be a game Donegal would fancy themselves getting into. There's no point saying about it. Look, and to be honest with you, you want to see a response. And look, you know, coming out of Ulster, big game against Tyrone, down to Cork, sitting
would you look at it, right? Cork had 2 weeks to prepare for that game.
You know, we had the whole thing, lost the final. Can we get ready for Tyrone? Yes, we did. You know, you had a week then, you know, less than a week because you're going to Cork the night before. Like, the more you look at it, now we still thought, if Donegal played the way they did against Tyrone, they would have won the match.
Absolutely.
But if they dropped off and Cork raised it, when you think about that, Cork at home, it's your big game at home. And, you know, the more you build it, you think that was a potential result. But that said, Cian McGonagall has the ball. We're level. He's on the attack. He gets blown for over carrying. Mm. They got a point off that next play. And that was the difference, you know. So, you know.
That was it. I suppose that's when it comes back to the fitness and the energy and everything else, you know.
Look, it's a pity we didn't get a draw at least, though, because we still could have, you know, could have been the difference of us topping. Potentially, depending on what happens
between Tyrone and Cork. Exactly, aye. So that's going to be a big game as well, Tyrone and Cork, another one to look forward to. But look, from a Donegal point of view, you know, you go down again, and suppose the whole county was on this massive high, and still on a high. Like, you know, there's less talking into this Clare game. Maybe it's our job to talk it up a little bit. But you know, outside of Donegal, that'll be done anyway.
And this Clare team, I was just looking at them. They're one of the most amazing stories this year. A lot of people wouldn't realise. They lost 10 players last year. Mal was on a bit earlier, but teams, Derry losing 4 or 5, whatever. 10 players. And now Clare must have a smaller squad than a lot of teams. Only football's in West Clare. You know, it's obviously more a hurling county. But listen, to survive that, and people thought they were going to be relegated from Division 3. They weren't. They competed. Then they go into the championship and they're still able to have a go at teams. It's amazing that they've been able to stabilise and do that. And I know Peter was saying last week Tyrone weren't really on it, but there's something about Clare. You talk about a team that's been able to punch above their weight now, because they shouldn't be able to mix it with sides like Cork's or like Tyrone's at all.
No, they shouldn't, and that's the thing. Like, they're sticky. You know, that's the. Suppose you just get teams that are like that. They're sticky. They never give up, and a lot of those clubs are dual clubs as well. Suppose and the players that are playing football are playing hurling as well. So, you know, they're coming from that base as well. They work really, really hard, and they do. And you're right. And suppose people has tipped them to go down in division. That didn't happen. You're in against Cork and you're against Kerry and down in Munster. And you know,
they gave Kerry a game.
They definitely
well,
did. Yeah, it was exciting too. You know, and suppose against Tyrone. Tyrone, suppose Clare got a man sent off as well. And if that didn't happen, that game may have changed a little bit differently. But you know, that
was it. A bit maybe sobering for Donegal to say, because all Ireland was being in the background. We weren't saying it, of course, but
definitely people was,
because of that second half against Tyrone, now Tyrone bolted, so maybe this was
look, don't get me wrong, everyone got excited about their performance against Tyrone in the second half. It was probably their best performance in a long, long time. And look, time will tell this
time
weekend.
Time will tell. Let's sort out the Clare men first. Of course, that's number one. Parik, that's it for tonight. Thanks again for joining us as ever. Parik Helferty there, head of sport. Oisín Kelly. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions coming up shortly. We're all for Castlebar for a wee victory and hopefully see how the other results go in terms of avoiding teams that we don't want to beat. Let's get back to Crow Park.
We'll do that.
Chat to you.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's kitchen, and there's free admission entertainment every weekend.